Okay, now Brandy, our speaker, will share her experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes on the mental obsession. Would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. It's all yours.
Hi, I'm Brandy, controller fixer, chaos creator, codependent. Thank you, Sandy, for hosting the meeting. And Judith, thank you for asking me to speak. If you're new to VBA, you're in the right place. Just keep coming back. This is definitely a place. Sandy, can you shake your head? Can you hear me well enough? Okay, good. I'm not where I thought I would be, but that's okay. So I'm just going to start with the set-aside prayer. God, enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind, an open heart, and a God experience. Help me see the truth about what you'd have me speak today. So step one, I admitted I'm powerless over controlling, fixing, chaos creating, codependence, insert your own addiction, that my life had become unmanageable. And in step one, we look at the physical craving in Bill's story, and we look at the mental obsession in There's a Solution, and the spiritual malady in More About Alcoholism. And when you work the BBA program, you're in step one for like 9 weeks, 9 to 11 weeks. It's a long time. And it's a pretty hard place to be. I'm currently doing a deeper dive into my self 12-step work. And what I'm finding is that God is revealing to me new levels of truth, new levels of understanding as I go through this process. And it's been kind of interesting. So I'm just going to start with page 23. I'm going to read page 23 on and kind of just go through this. So before I started BBA, chaos and controlling, fixing looked very like, I mean, at one of the meetings I spoke, like someone once called me a hummingbird on crack, and literally that was very indicative of what I was, a hummingbird on crack, that it just was super productive, super going everywhere. And today it's a bit different. I still can find myself drifting into the hummingbird. Maybe she is or isn't on crack, but like I can kind of see myself sometimes drift in that way. And so it was interesting because my level of like tolerance for manageability is probably less than what it was when I first went through the program, because I've gotten some peace and serenity and some power from that first going through. And so today it looks very different. So I'm going to observation. So here we've got page 23 at the beginning. These observations about the physical craving, important to know, but pointless if I never first took that first thinking, that first thought, that first obsession. And that sets in a terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem, we believe, the main problem of controlling, fixing, chaos creating, it centers in my mind rather than my body or my life. And this is something, I've got an example of this recently. It's interesting. So if you ask me why I started the last bender of excessive thinking, taking on projects, longer to-do lists, the chances are I would offer you one of 100 different alibis or logical reasons why I started to do that. Everything from I'm a mom and it's needed and it's necessary and that has to happen for my business. And, you know, if I don't do social media this many times a week, then I am not going to have enough, you know, income, or I'm not going to have clients, or, and I've got a really good one recently that, so I, in my mind, can reason away why it is that I start to spin. And so sometimes these excuses have a certain believability. I am really good at making excuses in my mind or reasoning things out with my mind. And what I'm realizing is it's like, well, what is the mind? Well, the mind is the ego, the self. And that ego and the self is actually what's gotten me farther away from the power of God, because it's what keeps me from the access, the power that's already there. The water is always in the ocean. The air is always around me. And I block it out with my ego, with myself. And it's that self and that ego that is the mind. And so, of course, that self and ego gives me great reasons why it is. So I'm just going to go ahead and give you this great example that I just was like, oh, can't believe. So I live in some townhomes in the United States, in Texas, and we have five of us that are all in one building. We all have our own little courtyards between our house and our garage, and there's little fences between each little courtyard. And so basically, though, we have a common, like, the courtyard is pretty much shared. There's not a lot of, like, space in between all that. My next door neighbor decided to throw out 300 or so or more moss balls in her backyard, which are poisonous and deadly to cats and dogs. I have a cat that goes outside. The neighbor on the other side of her has two dogs and a cat. And then the neighbor next to me has a dog. And so they're deadly to the animals. And then long inhalation to humans is not safe. And at first it just reeked. And I was like, this is not good. I cannot believe, like, what is this smell? And I realized, I looked over my fence and there's all these mothballs out. I was like, what is going on? This is not good. So I look up about mothballs, and first of all, I'm hanging something in my yard, and the neighbor's leaving, and I say, hey, like, is there anything I need to know about these things in your yard? How long do I need to keep my cat in, kind of thing? And the younger neighbor, the daughter, she just kept walking. She's in her 50s. And then the mom in her 70s stops and says, oh, we put mothballs out in order to get the rats to go away. And so then I was like, okay. And so I look at mothballs, and they will last outdoors off-gassing their poison for 3 to 6 months. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Like, this is not good. Like, my daughter and I are getting a headache. Like, this is not okay. And so I talked to the other neighbor to say, hey, just want to let you know, because they have animals. And they were like, you know, here, you probably need to call the city. And I was like, because I didn't know all the steps. So I did the steps. And here's Brandy not in her disease. Brandy prayed. God said, follow the steps. Go call the city and call the HOA and let them deal with it. And I was kind. And I was like, I'm sure they're just uneducated. They don't know what's going on. But, like, evidently it's a myth that they kill rats, that they'll do anything for rats, and they're really bad for, they can kill other, like, cats and dogs, and bad for humans to inhale, and they last for 3 to 6 months. So anyway, so I let them do their thing, and the city came out, like, the next day. I was kind of impressed, and she came and looked. She said, oh, that's a code violation. And so she's like, I'm going to put a thing out. And I said, well, how long do I expect? So I'm following all the things, and I'm calm and okay. I said, well, when is, because I'm trying to find out what's the reasonable amount of time. So the lady says to me, well, you know, if they haven't picked it up by Friday, call me. I was like, okay, that's fine. So Thursday comes along, and they had gotten their little notice off the door, because these people don't answer. Oh, leading up to this, I did the right thing. I rang the doorbell 2 different days, and the controller fixer and me want to go because they never answer. They don't answer the door. I try to give them a Christmas present. They don't answer the door. So I rang 3 times, and I thought, I live with these people. 3 times is reasonable. Like, that's nice. And they didn't ever come to the door. So that then I went through the city thing. So I was like, okay, I followed what God has said in the process, and I'm trusting the process. And then I called the lady, and they said, well, they have picked up half of them. I was like, what were the instructions? And she said, well, it was to clean up all of it. And I said, okay, good. That's reasonable. Like, I was like, what's reasonable? And I said, well, so then what do I do? And she says, well, I'll come out and send them another warning. And you let me know if they don't get them picked up. Well, so she came out and did another warning. And the warning was disappeared. They found, got the warning. And anyways, nothing was done. So there was, like, I don't know, 50 or so still mothballs reeking up the yard still. And this is the thing. This is, I'm so unproud of this, but I'm totally going to share this. This is the disease. This is the disease. So I am unloading my car and they're leaving. And we never really see each other come and go, but they were leaving. And I thought to myself, here's what it says. I had a thought. My thought was, they may not know that there are 50 of them still out there. Maybe, you know, they're old. They might just not be able to see them. Like, maybe they need help. Like, I made all kinds of, like, you know, and my daughter's health and my cat's health and the neighbor's animal's health. And I had come out and the neighbor's cat was in their yard with all those mothballs before. And so I reasoned it out with logic, but I had a thought. You could just jump over the fence and pick up the other 50. Oh, wait, ladies, wait, everybody. It didn't stop there. Because once I had the thought, and there was a piece of me, there was an inclination where it's like, that's not right. Let the city handle it. They'll come back out, right? No. What does Brittany do? I'm so not proud of this. And this was recent. I jumped over the fence. So what, like now I'm trespassing on someone else's property, picking up poison. And here's the thing. I didn't have gloves on. I was picking up poison in my hand, going, oh my God, what am I doing? And I still couldn't stop. But like, well, I'm already over here. I'm going to pick all of them up. And then there were two of them behind the cactus. I'm in Texas. And I was like, how am I going to get them from behind the cactus? Oh no, I'm in their yard. Here's the chaos. I'm in their yard. They have gone to I don't know where for I don't know how long. And I've got 50 of these mothballs poison in my hand. I'm putting them underneath their fence to my fence because I have nowhere to put them. And I'm looking around and going, there's still two mothballs left behind this cactus. How am I going to get them? I was like, well, crap. I'm just going to have to leave them. Like, there's no way. I tried getting them and I got cactus in my hand. So, I mean, so much chaos, like so much karma just like came right back at me. And so then I take those, I double bag them, and I was like, shoot, I don't want this stinking up my trash can or anyone else's. Where can I throw them that's like okay for them to be thrown away? Anyway, so more chaos. I mean, that's the short of it. More chaos, just because I couldn't just trust God to take care of it through the process that was already started. I started off well, and then I had a thought. And this is that mental obsession and like legitimately so horrible that this happened, but like, I can't control it. I don't have the ability when I get to that point to control it on my own power. That's where I need God. And that's what God was showing me was like, you're a mess. Like you still need me and you will always need me. And that is just how it is. And, yeah, so here's the kicker. It rained, and now you can still, it's not like giving you a headache and everything, but this is where the chaos is. There are now two or three mothballs still floating around in that yard, and you can smell them. And so now what do? I call the city to say that there's three mothballs left. Like, I don't, like, what the heck? So now I'm left with, like, it takes 3 to 6 months for those to, like, So, if this is the chaos creator, right? Like, so I'm just going to pray and see what God does. But, I, you know, it's going to work out somehow. But like, this is, it's just this interesting thing of, like, if you asked him why he started that last bender, I mean, this is a bender. Like, the chances are he'll offer you any way of 100 alibis. Well, here's my 100 alibis, guys. Well, my daughter and I couldn't be outside without getting massive headaches. It lasts for 3 to 6 months, and it's people to inhale for long term, and I think 3 to 6 months is long term. And we go outside every single day, and in our backyard. And there's my cat, and then there's the neighbor's two dogs and cats, and you know, all of a sudden I've deemed myself the savior of all the animals in my neighborhood. Like ridiculous role I assigned myself, but also the fact then I came up with these really good excuses of like, you know, they're old. They probably can't see them. Maybe they don't smell it. Like they just can't find them. They need help, right? And so sometimes these excuses have certain, you know, believability. there's some their believability in that fact that this is toxic stuff, right? And then I thought, the city's not going to come back out again. Okay, thank you. The city's not going to come out back again, you know, like, so this is the chaos that we can ensue. So it's interesting that, you know, none of it really, but none of them really make sense in the light of the havoc. And truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took that first thinking or obsessing in the first place. And that's the reality. It's like, I was already in a process where God was handling it, and yet I had a thought, and I have no idea. And even going over the fence, I thought, this is not good, but I'm still doing it. it's just interesting. So then it goes on to talk about, but in their hearts, they really do know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold on me, I was baffled. I was left baffled. Why the heck was I doing what I was doing? And there is the obsession that somehow, someday, I will beat the game, but that often suspect they're down for the count. So the tragic truth is that if the man be a real controller, fixer, chaos creator, that happy day may not come, right? He has lost control. At a certain point in the thinking, every controller, fixer, chaos creator, codependent, she passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop and not go over the fence is absolutely of no avail. The tragic situation has already arrived, and in practically every case, long before it's suspected. So here we go. The fact is, the most controller, fixer, chaos creators, codependent, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in thinking and obsessing and controlling. So our so-called willpower becomes weak and practically non-existent. I am unable at certain times, at this time in particular, to bring to my consciousness with sufficient force the memory of previous suffering and humiliation. What if I had gotten caught in their yard? Like, really? Humiliation of even a week or a month ago. Where I am without defense against the first thinking. So what's great is later on page 25, it says there is a solution, and none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, and the confession of shortcomings, which this process requires for a successful consumption. So the biggest thing at this point, I'm working step four this time around, very deep dive, and the key is getting legit, for real, honest with myself and praying the set-aside prayer, asking God to help me be honest with myself and see the truth about my actions, about my first thinking, about my inability to not. Like, I had a thought, like, this is not a good idea. This is illegal. You are on someone else's property. I couldn't stop, right? Like, and that was a great way of seeing that, like, God showing me I need God. I need a power greater than me to stay in this program, to work the program, to have the proper attitude in life, to live. Like, I need God's power in order to be real with myself and look deep down. And that's the thing with this whole program, is it really, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable to sit in step four and sit and look at your actions, look at where they are driven. But in the end, you get to step five and six, and then you start getting the power from God because you start to become willing to just let it all go and surrender it all. And it's in that surrender where the experience happens. And that experience has no words. It's so much love and peace. And the deeper you go, and it's almost like, how much freedom do you want? How free do you want to be? Do you only want to work 10 resentments? Like, how free do you want to be? And you'll find the freedom by being where I can really use my will, that will that took me over the fence. My will is properly used by working this program and getting real with myself and honest with myself in the fact that, like, I am sick. And without God's power and God's ability to drive my everyday everything, I'm over my neighbor's fence picking up poison. Like, what the heck? So yeah, it's this program. I'm really grateful for this program because I have found a lot of peace. So I'm still human. Thank you. Though I'm still human and I'm still, you know, I still need to work the program. This deep dive is showing me so much about myself and how I insert a lot of people into running resentments that just kind of need to be let go of, which is going to happen through the completion of the fourth step into the fifth and into the sixth. And it's just such a blessing to have this program. And thank you for listening. And I'd love to hear all of y'all's step one experiences. I apologize. I may have to take my camera off a little bit because I'll be traveling in a little bit.